And Vekoma on his way to the Breeders' Cup Sprint by virtue of that victory in the Win and You're In event. I'm going to talk to his trainer, George Weaver, coming up in just a second. But first, I want to remind you that every single week here on the program, we bring you a segment called our Industry Star of the Week. And it's an interview segment where I honor one of our guests as the Industry Star of the Week. The segment is presented by Stuart Morris, who, as you know, offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock agency. He knows that his success is because of you, his clients, his team, and he wants to thank you for all of that success. And you can look for your next greatest stakes winner at the Stuart Morris consignment coming up at all the major sales. But I thought it was appropriate, considering that big win by Vekoma and what we could see later this afternoon with Point of Honor in the Ogden Phipps, that we make George Weaver our Industry Star of the Week on this Saturday morning. So, George, first of all, thanks for taking some time and congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Look back on that race last weekend. Boy, that was something special, wasn't it?
It was fun to watch, man. He's always been a special horse, and, you know, he's done quite a few good things in his career, but that was, man, that was impressive. It's been a long time since I've seen a horse run like that.
Yeah, and it had to make you feel good, too. I mean, you come back with him March 28th at Gulfstream in the Sir Shackleton. It was his first start since finishing 13th in the Kentucky Derby last year, so it had been a long time since we saw him in action, and he dominated that field. And tell me about getting him back to the races after that Kentucky Derby.
Well, you know, the Derby didn't go as we planned. It you know, the skies opened up and it tracked a little gluey and it just wasn't his day. And we planned on running the rest of the year as a three-year-old and grabbed a quarter about 4 weeks after the Derby. He grabbed the quarter and we had to heal that up, and then we got him back going again. And he just wasn't moving like he used to. You know, he just wasn't moving like we wanted, and we decided to give him a break. And it ended up being a pretty long break just because we wanted to maximize our four-year-old campaign. And there just weren't any big races around January, February, even March, you know, the really marquee races. It wasn't until, you know, we were back way back then, we were thinking maybe the Carter in early April would be something we might want to hit. So, you know, we kind of put them on a schedule that could get them ready for that. And needless to say, with the virus and whatnot, the Carter in early April didn't happen, so we started him in the Sir Shackleton at Gulfstream, and we were glad to have that opportunity. And he ran big there, and then, man, he came back and ran huge last Saturday.
Yeah, he really did, and that was a pretty salty group, too, and he handled them with ease. You know, we were there at Keeneland last year when he won the Bluegrass, and he just ran away from that field too and looked really good in doing it, set him up beautifully for the Kentucky Derby. And as you just alluded to, things didn't go according to plan there, but that Bluegrass is a mile and an eighth race. This is a horse that isn't just a stone cold sprinter. Do you see yourself maybe trying to work him back out to longer distances later in the season?
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, you know, thinking about the Breeders' Cup, I know that a lot of people thought, well, you won the Carter, so he's a Breeders' Cup sprint horse. But technically, we wouldn't be necessarily married to the sprint. We would look at the mile and, you know, at least look at the dirt mile as well. I don't know about a mile and a quarter, you know what I mean? But he did get a mile and eighth in the Bluegrass. I think he's a horse he's just such a good horse that there's not like one distance that is his best distance. I think he'd be very good, you know, at 6, 7 a mile, even a mile and an eighth, you know, under the right circumstances. You know, he's just a really special horse, athletic, tons of ability.
Yeah, sometimes I think that because of what happened in the Kentucky Derby, that people, you know, and then being away for so long, people forgot about Vekoma and they forgot how good he really is. I don't think he gets the respect that he deserves. If you toss out the Kentucky Derby, here's a horse that's 4 for 6 lifetime, his only defeat outside of the Derby coming in the Fountain of Youth when he was third off the layoff.
He's, you know, and that's it's just the way it worked out. You know, he's still a lightly raced horse. He's got a world of talent. I think, you know, he got a following when he was two, and obviously, when he's a three-year-old leading into the Derby with a big win in the Bluegrass, that he was getting a lot of attention. And then, you know, when you're out of sight, out of mind. But he is he is a really special horse. I'm so grateful to have him back on the track. And, you know, we're looking forward to the rest of the year with him.
What did Javier say to you last weekend when he got back after winning that race?
So he had a big smile on his face. He was very impressed. He's like, man, he ran huge. I think Javier had a good time riding that one. He was having fun.
You know, I'm always curious, George. By the way, talking with George Weaver here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, who is having a spectacular year here in 2020, even dealing with the adverse circumstances that every other trainer is dealing with. But I'm always curious, when you get that win and you're in under your belt and you know that you've got a spot reserved for you in the Breeders' Cup, does that kind of help you in planning out the rest of his campaign?
Well, look, it always helps. You don't feel, you know, the pressure's kind of off as far as what you need to do. And you know, you got a berth, and, you know, it's nice they have a program where I think the entry fees and whatnot are paid and so forth. But, you know, we're just taking a race at a time. And for us, you know, I've always thought this horse was a special colt. He was, you know, he acted like he was special before I even ever got him into my barn. He's been special ever since we've had him. And I really felt like he was a deserving horse of a grade one win. And hopefully more than just one grade one win. But, you know, I just, with him winning the Carter, I feel like it was like a proven race. Like, he went out there and did what in my heart I knew he was capable of doing. And I think it all, you know, I think it gives us all a comfort level. And we're looking forward to, you know, plotting out a campaign that will get us to the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year.
One of your mentors, Todd Pletcher, is coming up in the next segment. He's going to look ahead to his Belmont probables and then talk about his three victories in the Ogden Phipps, since that race is coming up later this afternoon. He's not in there this year, so you don't have to worry about him, but you got to worry about guys like Shug McGahee and Bill Mott, and you're going to saddle Point of Honor in that race. Daughter of Curlin, owned by Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners and others, and here's a very, very talented four-year-old filly. Tell me a little bit about her.
Well, she's another one that, you know, she's like Bacoma. She ran more frequently as a three-year-old, but, you know, she made quite an impression. She ran in some big races, she won the Black Eyed Susan, you know, ran very well in both the Coaching Club Oaks and Alabama last year. We just got to a point where she had been kind of in a busy training and racing cycle for quite a while, and we felt like maybe she had just tailed off a little bit, and, you know, there weren't a whole lot of three-year-old filly options left. The Cotillion would have been the last one. And, you know, we wanted to focus on putting her in a position to have a big four-year-old campaign. And so we made a decision to give her a break. And, you know, I think it's paid off very well. We're very happy with the way she's come back. She's filled out. She's developed well into as a four-year-old. And she really hasn't done anything wrong. We're very happy with the way she's training. You know, she had a respectable, we used the race at Tampa basically just to get a race in her. We had very few options. We tried to get in a spot at Gulfstream. The race couldn't go. So Tampa was kind of just a place to get started. And, I mean, I don't know how you could criticize her effort in Apple Blossom. It was unfortunate that she kind of got broke a little bit, in a tangle and got squeezed back. But after that, I mean, she made a huge move, ran a huge race. And, you know, that was a pretty tough heat. I think there was five, maybe six grade one winners in there. It was, you know, that's one of the saltiest races you're going to see. And we've got to face Ollie's Candy again in this race. But we're looking forward to it. You know, hopefully things unfold well for us, and she likes the one-turn mile on the 16th.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I thought that Apple Blossom was just a really, really solid effort for her, considering the way that she did break and she was so far back. She really came running. Whereas Ollie's Candy got a much better trip than what Point of Honor had. Now you get a smaller field. Does that work to your advantage at Belmont?
You know, this is going to be the first. Well, she ran one turn 7/8 at Tampa, and really the race didn't come back that bad. You know, it'd be favorable. You know, if Blamed keeps Ollie's Candy honest and vice versa. You know, if there's a little bit of pace, but. You know, at Belmont, it's such a nice long run down the backside to get yourself in a comfort zone and make it run. I think she's going to like it. I think it's a great spot to be in. You know, she's another one. I think she's in the same boat as Macoma. she's a grade one mare. I know it, but she needs to, you know, she needs to win a grade one to be called a grade one winner. So, you know, she's deserving of it, and I just hope that she gets a fair shot at it tomorrow because she's training very, very well.
Yeah, and you get Javier Castellano back in the saddle aboard Point of Honor. That has to make you feel pretty good too.
Javier knows her very well, and you know, Drayden really didn't do anything wrong last time. It's just she got away bad, and she got pinched back, and it's I'm not sure he could have done anything different, but Javier is very familiar with her, you know, knows just how to warm her up, just how to leave the gate. He's just more experienced on her, and had the most success on her, so we're looking forward to getting him back on.
George, I mentioned that this has been a really good year for you so far. 19 winners from roughly 70 starters, a little bit less than that. It's been good, including that big win in the Carter last weekend. What's been the key to this success?
It's the same thing it always is. Whenever you see somebody doing that, it's about having the right horse in the right spot. You know, that's you know, the job of the trainer is to try to spot the horses the best you can. The reality is sometimes you have to have the horses to do it, and you have to, you know, you're going to go through periods where you don't have, you know, you just don't have the right horses for the right spot. Sometimes you don't even know. You get, you know, you can get unlucky and go on a streak where you get a bunch of seconds. And, but we just had some horses in the right spot, and they're jumping up and performing well. I'm not doing anything particularly different than I have my whole career. I know I'm batting over 25% this year, but we're still just, you know, we're still just doing what we do, getting up every day, working hard, trying to keep our horses happy and healthy and fit, and lead them over there in what we think is the right spot and hope for the best.
Do you still take things that you learned when you worked with Wayne Lucas and Todd Pletcher and even Mark Henning and try to incorporate them into your operation today?
Certainly. I mean, the training racehorses is all about experience. You know, one of the great things that I was fortunate enough to be able to get into Wayne Lucas's barn, thanks to Mark's father, John Hennig. You know, he did a lot of early education with me and taught me a lot, and I was able to be fed into that barn. But just being around good horses, being around a lot of horses, seeing what works and what doesn't. You know, horses come up with so many issues, from soundness issues to getting sick to, you know, not eating. There's so many things that you're monitoring with them to try to get them to be 110%. And so all that experience that I've had with those guys, with Todd, with Wayne, with Mark and his father, and all the great guys that I've worked with, Kieran and Randy Bradshaw and everybody. And so that experience builds up in your mind, and you get an idea, you get a gut feeling of what to do to keep your horses on the straight and narrow. So all that experience is built up, and that, you know, it's like an encyclopedia. I flip back in my mind all the time to help me make decisions with the horses I have now, you know, based on experiences I've had with those guys and all the great horses we are around.
He's trainer George Weaver. He is on a roll here in 2019. He's looking to continue that role later this afternoon in the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps with Point of Honor. She's talented. Will she be in front? Will she give him a second consecutive win in a Breeders' Cup Challenge event 2 weekends in a row? Boy, that would be something. George, appreciate the visit here, my friend. Good luck today, and go get it done.
Thank you very much, guys.